This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-ameen, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een. Amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters in Islam, today we're going to look at take a look at certain glimpses from Surah An-Nur. And the reason behind that, for one, for us to recognize once again what an amazing book the Qur'an is and what excellent proof it is to the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it were not the book of Allah azza wa jal, then offer us a semi-plausible explanation as to how a book like the Qur'an could ever be written, not just written 1400 years ago, but written even in our times. And the other reason also is that so we can get an idea of how the topics in the ayat are related. A few days ago, we were having a conversation and someone was saying the topics of the Qur'an jump from one place to another. But if you contemplate carefully, it is not a complete jump. There is a link in the theme with the theme before it. But it is a book of contemplation. And that is one of the most important things. The Qur'an is a book of contemplation. And if you're just reading it, expecting to read through like a story, you will see that this story jumps from one place to another. But if you're reading it to contemplate, you will find the link between this theme and the one before it. So with that, we would like to take a quick run through Surah An-Nur, but at the same time, look at certain things that are unique about it as a surah and things that are unique about the Qur'an as a whole. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بَعْدَ أَنْ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ سُورَةٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهَا وَفَرَضْنَاهَا وَأَنْزَلْنَا فِيهَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. The first thing is, this is the only surah in the Qur'an that starts like this. A very unique and very, for lack of a better term, strange beginning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سُورَةٌ يَعْنِي هَذِهِ سُورَةٌ. This is a surah that we sent down and we made it obligatory upon you, and we sent, meaning to follow its rules and regulations, and we sent down in it clear ayat so that you may remember, meaning so that you may take heed. So the scholar said, why would this surah start like this? Every surah in the Qur'an is sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal. Every surah in the Qur'an is revealed so that you can obey and follow the laws and the guidelines mentioned in it. There is no surah that is sent down for your reading pleasure. Every surah is sent down so you can follow it. And Allah is stressing that we made clear ayat in this surah so that you can act upon them, so that you can pay heed and pay close attention and act upon them. So the scholars said, this surah in particular began this way by stating what is otherwise the obvious, that it's a surah sent down from Allah Azza wa Jal, that you have to follow what's in it, and the ayat have been made clear to you so you can follow them. Every surah is like that. But they said, because this surah deals with so many issues, it deals with issues that are so serious, matters of life and death, and it deals with things as simple as your two-year-old child knocking on your bedroom door before entering. And Allah is reiterating and telling you from the beginning that you have to follow everything, the big and the not as serious, the not as big. And what is interesting is when you look at those who have issues with Islam today, all the issues they have are the ones in Surah An-Nur. Yani, you find people amongst the Muslims who have a problem with hijab. That's in verse 31 of Surah An-Nur. Those who have a problem with the dealing and the ruling of the adulterer. That's in Surah An-Nur. Every issue they have a problem with is in Surah An-Nur, which is the only surah that starts by saying you have to obey everything in this surah, which is a given. So they chose to mess with the wrong surah, if that's a term, of all the Qur'an. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it a surah, and a sur is any place, jidar, murtafi', anything that is elevated out of, or like a wall or a gate, anything higher than the rest is a sur. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it this name, even though there are other names for chapters in the Quran. In Sahih Bukhari, chapters are called Abwab, Bab Kaba, Bab al-Tahara, Bab al-Salah. But here, Allah chose to call His chapters Suwar, with a scene. And a surah is any high elevated position. And Allah called His chapters Suwar because they have a high elevated position in the hearts of the believers. A surah of the Quran is not like any poem or any song. It has a high elevated position. Likewise, the scholars also said that they have a high elevated position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So He named them surah. So this is a surah that we sent down. وَفَرَضْنَاهَا And if you قِرَاءَ وَفَرَّضْنَاهَا يعني أَنزَلْنَاهَا مُجَزَّأَةً That it came down in pieces, and it actually did come in pieces in many parts of the Quran. So other scholars said a surah is from su'r, from the same root as su'r, which is the leftover. So when you drink and you leave some water in the glass, that's a su'r. So they said it's called a surah from that because a chapter is one of parts of the Quran. Just like the leftover is part of the water that was in the whole glass. So Allah Azza wa Jal of all the surah is telling you from the beginning, listen up, pay attention. And follow what's in this surah. Then the second verse, immediately, with no introduction, starts with the punishment. Punishing the people who commit zina, and illicit sexual relations. And what's interesting also in Surah An-Nur, that in verses 10 and 14 and 20 and 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps saying, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ And had it not been for the grace of Allah upon you, this would have happened to you. And had it not been for the grace of Allah upon you, He would not have purified you. And the scholars said, Allah Azza wa Jal keeps repeating that so we don't lose track. Because it starts off heavy with punishment and so on and so forth. Things that are life-threatening, whipping. But Allah doesn't want you to lose sight of the fact that this is for your betterment and for the betterment of society at large. So He keeps reminding you, had it not been for the grace of Allah. So it's not just severe talk. So it's not just punishment, but you're reminded of the mercy and the kindness of Allah Azza wa Jal. So verse 2 immediately goes into the punishment of the zunat. Then verse 3 covers the marital guidelines for those who commit zina versus those who are still committing zina and want to marry someone who is chaste, and all the other examples. One of the interesting things, verse 3 of Surah An-Nur is one of the most disputed about verses amongst the Mufassirin in the entire Quran. It's a huge debate that goes left and right, but basically it's talking about the guidelines for those who commit zina and how they get married. Then verse 4 deals with those who accuse people of zina. Without having the witnesses, what is their punishment? And that continues. And then verse 5, what if they repent from the accusation that they made? And then it goes in from verse 6 until verse 10. What if someone accuses his own spouse of that and they don't have the four witnesses? What do they do? And so it mentions this legal procedure known as li'an, which would be carried out in court. So from 1 to 10, we dealt with zina. But then verses 11 all the way to 20 deal with the accusation, the incident of the ifk and the accusation against Aisha radiallahu anha. And the verses are so powerful and so clear, and the defense of Aisha is incredible when you look at the verses in detail. First of all, what is the relationship between verses 1 and 10 and 11 to 20? The same thing, it's the same theme. It was the accusation against Aisha, it's an accusation of zina. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now is going to defend Aisha radiallahu anha. And the first thing in the wording is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called it al-ifk. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ And the scholars say, أَفَكَ الشَّيْءِ إِذَا قَلَبَهُ عَنْ وَجْهِهِ And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called the villages of Sodom, the people of Lut, وَالْمُؤْتَفِكَةَ Ahwa. From the same root, mu'tafika, it was flipped over. Al-ifk is something completely flipped over. If I tell you, Brother Muhammad has a very expensive car. But Brother Muhammad's car is all broken up. But there is some truth. Even though I'm lying, there is some truth in this lie. And that is, Brother Muhammad has a car. But if I tell you Brother Muhammad's car is expensive and he doesn't have a car, never thought of buying a car, doesn't even have a driver's license, is there any truth whatsoever? That's an ifk. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't even call it a lie, because a lie might have truth in it. But Allah azza wa jalla called it ifk, completely flipped over, not an ounce of any truth in it whatsoever. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next verse tells you what you should have said out loud, and it's not good enough. Because I might defend someone out loud, but internally I think they did it. I just don't have evidence. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not leaving any opening that what you should have said and what you should have believed. لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمَعْتُمُوهُ ظَنَّ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ خَيْرًا. الظن is internal. You should have thought well. That's the first thing. وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكٌ مُبِينٌ. And you should have said this is a clear lie. So internally and what comes out of the tongue. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes through more of what they should have done legally. So if you knew this, you should have brought witnesses. You didn't bring witnesses, then you're liars. But it's powerful. And it, the Quran is the book of Allah. The Quran is the book of Allah. And nobody can challenge this for one second. Nobody. The Quran is so powerful and so detailed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. Those, if they didn't bring witnesses, then they're liars with Allah. But what's amazing here is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't leave any room or any gap. Because if I see someone committing zina, and the person actually was committing zina, and I don't have witnesses and I go to court, I don't have three other witnesses with me, I go to court, and I say, Your Honor, this person committed zina, I saw him with my own eyes, I saw the details, then legally, am I lying or speaking the truth? According to the court, I am a liar. According to the court, I'm labeled as a liar. Between me and Allah Azza wa Jal, did I lie or did I really see that? Between me and Allah Azza wa Jal, I did see that. But because I don't have evidence on this earth, I'm a liar in the court. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say they're just liars, because they could be liars in court. But maybe they saw the truth, and Allah knows they saw the truth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say they're liars in court. He said, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. But with Allah, they're liars. That means they're liars in court and they're liars with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't see anything. They didn't have any truth. And only the Quran can think of such little details like that. No human being can sit down and come up with something so creative and so detail-oriented. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 17 closes the door on this happening to anyone ever again. Some of the Shia, when they saw how powerful these ayat and how clearly they were defending Aisha, they came up with a new lie. They said, oh, these ayat weren't about Aisha, it was about another mother of the believers, and it was defending her. But what are you going to do with verse 17? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya'idhukumullah. The Mufassirin said, what does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ya'idhukum? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala admonishes you. So some of them said it means Allah yuharrim alaykum. Allah forbids you from ever ya'idhukum Allah an ta'udu limithlihi abada. Allah azza wa jalla didn't say he forbids you from ever mentioning the story of Aisha again. Allah didn't say he forbids you from ever accusing Aisha again. He said limithlihi. He, don't you ever do this to anyone on earth ever again. Let alone trying to reopen this book and accuse the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah forbids you from doing anything like this to anyone ever again. And it's so sad how lightly we've taken this topic now. People accuse each other left and right, and this is how it is in America. People are accusing each other and they're not afraid. And then we live here in America and we think it's normal and it's okay, and we accuse people of zina and we give it different names and titles. But this is something that if we were taken to court, we would be destroyed and our reputation would be destroyed because we didn't have evidence. So beware, beware, brothers and sisters, of speaking casually about these things. Doesn't matter if they're Muslim or non-Muslim. Doesn't matter if they're celebrities or not famous. Don't talk about these things. Don't get and delve into these types of topics of accusing people of zina. So then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, verse 19, warns, and there are different tafsirs here, and we'll take the most powerful one. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who love for the fawahish, the illicit sexual acts, to spread amongst the believers. And one group said, this is talking about those who spread it. And another group of mufassirin said, Allah Azza wa Jalla is not threatening those who spread the rumors, those who make up the rumors. Allah Azza wa Jalla is talking about someone who did not spread it, did not make it up, did not share it. He stood far away, but he just loves that it's happening. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is threatening that person, let alone the one who goes around spreading it. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is threatening those who love for these kinds of fitan and trials to spread amongst the believers. They're the ones who will have a severe torment in this world and the next. And then Allah reminds you, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ رَحْمَتُهُ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Had it not been for the grace and the mercy of Allah, then a severe torment would have touched you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Ra'uf and He is Rahim. Allah is merciful and He is kind. Then it continues. What happens now is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us of the footsteps of the shaitan. And the scholar said, because the shaitan is clever, he works in steps. Because he's clever, he works in steps. Steps until you are desensitized, until you get to the big crime that he wanted you to commit initially. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes and deals with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Because the man who explicitly accused Aisha was a relative of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was a poor man. He was one of the muhajireen, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to give him money. And he is the one who explicitly mentioned Aisha. So Abu Bakr swore that he is not going to give him any more money. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, don't swear to not help the poor and the immigrant and your kinsmen, but continue to give him. Wouldn't you love Allah to forgive you? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately said, Wallahi, I will never stop giving him. And in the narration of At-Tabarani, doubled the amount that he was giving him. But then what's interesting, and we'll end here, is that from verse 11 until 20, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with the incident of Al-Ifk, defending Aisha. Then verse 21, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned of following the footsteps of the shaitan. Then verse 22, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Abu Bakr, don't swear to not give him, keep giving him, and forgive and forget. Don't you love Allah to forgive you? And then verses 23 to 26, Allah Azza wa Jalla goes back to the story of Al-Ifk. So why this pause in the middle? And this is again what is amazing about the Quran. This pause in the middle. And let's put it this way. If you do something, for those who are not children, when you were a child, if you did something wrong, and then your father spoke to you about it, reprimanded you, and then it was over, he never brought it up. And then another day you did something wrong, your father reprimanded you severely, and then he went and took his nap, and then when he woke up, he started reprimanding you again. Which day is worse, the first day, or which crime is worse, the first one or the second one? Meaning, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes back to the topic, it means we're not done with it, and it's a very serious topic, and I'm returning to it again. You thought we were done, I'm returning to it again. This is how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defended Aisha radiallahu anha. And there's even more in the wordings and the power of the phrasing of the sentences. And this is further proof that the Quran is the book or the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But wallahi, brothers and sisters, our problem is that we just have abandoned the Quran. That's our problem. That's why you find people leaving Islam or doubting Islam. If you read this book every day, you will not have any doubt. But the problem is the way we look at the Qur'an. And I'll repeat this story one more time. It was a troubled young man, and they brought him to talk to me, and he didn't want to come talk to me. And his main argument was, what's the Sheikh going to tell me? He's going to tell me to read the Qur'an. You see how we belittle the Qur'an? And they just read the Qur'an. There's no solution in it. He's just going to tell me read the Qur'an. It's just the solution we throw at people. Go read the Qur'an. And I made sure, after sitting with him, to tell him to read the Qur'an. Because that is the solution. You can't tell me not to give you the right answer. What is 1 plus 1? But you can't say 2. La wallahi, I can say 2. I know the answer is 2. It's the right answer. Now say 2. What do you want me to say? It's the right answer. And reading the Quran is the right answer. And the solution to so many problems, from emotional to depression to this. And everyone thinks, yeah, depression is far more complex than you mashayikh on the members are yelling about. La wallahi, it's not complex. And nothing about it is complex. The solutions are in this book. We just ignore it. That's our problem. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم من جميع الذنوب فاستغفروه فيا فوز المستغفرين. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for his forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد. So, just looking at themes only now and no details. So, when and till verse 23 to 26 is going back to the incident of Al-Ifk. Then 27 to 29, the rules of visitation. What's the link? Where does zina happen? In homes. Before, people didn't ask permission. They would just enter. And what does it look like? It looks like zina, or it could lead to zina. So that's why Allah mentioned the rules of visitation, knocking on people's doors, asking permission before going in. Then verses 30, lowering the gaze for men. How does it start, zina? It starts with looking. Then verse 31, lowering the gaze for women. And covering and proper attire for women and proper behavior for women in verse 31. Then it goes into solutions for zina, getting married. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَنْكِحُ الْأَيَامَ مِنْكُمْ. Those who are al-ayyim, whether it's divorced, single, whoever doesn't have a spouse, what should you do with them in society? Wed them off. The verse isn't, many people misunderstand this verse. They think it's saying, marry those who are single. No, it's saying, marry them off to each other, wed them off to each other. Then those who can get married, what is their solution? Then verse 34 links you to the beginning. After all these rules and guidelines, Allah is telling you, you have seen in this book, in the Quran, what has happened to nations who disobeyed their Lord. So in the beginning of the surah, follow and obey what is in this surah. In the middle of the surah, you have seen what happens to those who have disobeyed the rules. So are you going to follow or not? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His light, the parable of His light. And you will only understand it well when you see the parable of darkness and the misguidance of the disbeliever. Then verse 47, it gets into the hypocrites from 47 all the way to 54. Why? What do the hypocrites have to do with anything? Who started the ifk in rumor? It was the hypocrites. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them and how they behave and how they act and how the righteous believers act. And then verse 55, if you obey Allah, here's a promise from Allah Azza wa Jal. He will give you control of the earth. He will give you safety and security. Then the rest of the verses go into, first we were looking at rules of visitation. Now these are the rules and guidelines within the family. That was the stranger knocking on your door. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you how even within your home, the little children knock on your door. And we'll close with this about verse 58, which deals with your little children teaching them to knock on your bedroom doors at specific times of the day. One of the atba' al-tabi'een from the third generation was asked, has verse 58 of Surah An-Nur been abrogated? And since early then, he said, people don't act upon this verse. They don't teach their children these etiquettes. Has it been abrogated? And he said, no. He said, people don't teach that to their children. This is how long ago. So if you go home today and you teach this to your children, you will be of the very few handful on the planet who is acting upon verse 58. Which takes us to verse 28, one of the early Muslims. He said, because Allah says, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ ارْجُعُوا فَارْجُعُوا. When you knock on someone's door, if they say, I'm busy now, can you go come back later? He said, for 20 years I would visit my friends hoping they would tell me to go back. Why? So I can live out verse 28 of Surah An-Nur. I want to one day knock on a friend's house and he says, oh, it's good to see you. I'm so sorry, it's not a good time right now. So can you come back another time? He said, I'm just hoping one day someone says it to me so I can live out this verse of the Quran. That's the difference between them and us, brothers and sisters. Today, if you came to my house and I said, I'm sorry, it's not a good time. What kind of sheikh is this? Huh? When istiqbal al-dif? When al-karam? What happened to generosity? I may ruin my reputation in the community because I acted out verse 28. That's the difference. This thought is an honor and a pleasure. So this is a call and a reminder. to myself first and to all of us to keep a relationship with the Book of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Read it with contemplation, read it with understanding. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to me? And you do that and you will find problem after problem in your life being fixed bi-idhnillah. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it, and to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا اللهم أبرم لأمة الإسلام أمرا رشدا يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويهدى فيه أهل معصيتك ويؤمر فيه بالمعروف وينهى فيه عن المنكر يا سميع الدعاء. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify and bring ease and rectify the conditions of the Muslims in Morocco. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to rectify and bring ease to the Muslims in Libya. Ya Allah kun ma'ahum ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept as martyrs those who have died from amongst them, and to forgive the rest who have died, and to grant their families patience and well-being. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wa qumu ila salatukum irhamkum Allah.